What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.
That's right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Houston Methodist Training Center, Houston Texans Training Camp 2025, all that jazz. Another day in the books. I was like, I said this
all
a lot.
That jazz.
You know what I'm talking about at this point. Yeah. It's almost become a little routine, which, again, I think we're starting to get a feel from the players. It's a little routine, and it's kind of cool. They have a day off tomorrow.
Yeah.
They'll work again on Friday. And then very soon they will be at the Greenbrier in West Virginia getting a little work, a little change of scenery. I kind of love the way that camp is setting up in the way that it feels. I don't think that there's going to be time for guys to get complacent. I think that they're, and of course I'm projecting forward, only God knows what it actually looks like once we get to these places.
Yeah.
But it feels like mentally, as I'm looking at it, feels like it really is lining up for them to get the most out of training camp this year.
It is, and D'Amico Ryans, who we're about to hear from, has long sort of, you know, not preferred, but enjoyed getting away, at some point during training camp. And the weather isn't going to hurt either.
No, it's not. No, it's not. But another good one out here today. We'll talk more about what it looked like. But why listen to us talk about it when you can hear the head coach of the Houston Texans, D'Amico Ryans, talk about the day of practice? Here it is.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Fire away.
You know, it looks like you guys need to go hit somebody else. It looks like y'all getting tired of getting shoved already.
Yeah, right now, as we're coming in, it's the third day of pass. Anytime you have 3 days of pass, it's gonna get chippy. Guys are sore. Guys are beat up. That's training camp, so it's expected. Guys get a little chippy at times, but also just keeping it confined, not letting it get out of hand. Thought guys did a good job of that.
Yeah,
as we're practicing at training camp, you know, unfortunately injuries and things happen. You never want to see a guy go down like Keontae went down today and had to be carted off. We just wish him the best. We'll continue to evaluate him and see, you know, where he is, but you never want to see that. Just got to make sure we're staying up, protecting each other.
How would you assess the 2-minute drill for the first team of that?
We'll go back and look at it on film. I thought overall, as I assessed practice, just overall thought, you know, it looked like from the field defense had the upper hand, made a lot of plays on the football, and they continued to do that all throughout camp, and we just had to find a way to continue to not make those plays. We got to protect the ball from an offensive perspective. Really pleased with what the defense is doing, but you don't want to see that too much, you know, from our offensive side. So we'll continue to look at the film, continue to evaluate it, all these practices. Like, this is, I think, day 7 for us. This is continuing to learn from what we're doing. So we'll continue to put guys in different situations. It's the first time doing a 2-minute drill today. We'll continue to work on that and continue to make sure guys are situationally aware, playing smart football when it comes down to the end of the game.
Having said that, how can you
Yeah, for me, I don't swing back from the pendulum. Like, it's a matter that we go evaluate the film, consistently look at the decision making. All right, how guys are protecting, how guys are rushing, how guys are covering, running their route. Like, all of it is evaluated. So it's not like one side has a good day and it's a, oh, my, we're not good. but that's not the case. It's always our offense made a lot of plays, a lot of explosive plays yesterday, and usually in camp, that's how it goes. One side gets the best of one side the other day, the other side comes out and do what. So it's not a anything to, for me to pull out the panic meter about. It's just camp, guys are competing, and I love that we have a very competitive team. And that's what stood out the most to me about our team throughout this camp, just how competitive these guys are and how both sides continue to show up and make plays.
Secondary,
they're doing a really good job. They guys are playing together. They're communicating really well. You see Kalen, Kamara, young guys, they're getting just more comfortable with what's asked of them. And they're playing within the structures of the defense and still making plays. And CJ, adding him back there, he's done a really good job of getting acclimated to how we do things. He's done a great job of communicating, working with the young guys. So I'm pleased with where the guys are in the back end. I think they can be, you know, really a strong unit for us, for our entire team. And we need them to play well for us to have a good team.
What did you see from the corners on the depth chart behind Stingley and Lassiter?
Oh, you see a lot of guys continue to make plays. Jalen Smith, you see Tremont, Arnett, D. Ross, all those guys, they show up every day. I show highlights to our guys in team meetings of our practices, and they're different guys every day, you know, at the corner position showing up. And so that's encouraging when you have guys who you can count on to step out there and make plays. And now all those guys will be evaluated as we go through our preseason games to see, you know, how we can do it versus other teams, different looks, different routes. But right now at this point in camp, still very, very excited to see how this group will continue to grow. Jaden's done a really nice job. I think our coaches have done a great job with all of our rookies. Like, that's the one thing I harp on is that growth, all right, and having that steady persistence to improve your craft every single day. Our coach has done a great job working with the rookies. Jaden has done an outstanding job, and Coach Ben McDaniel's done a great job, not only with Jaden, but with Jalen, all of his rookies, and all of the vets as well.
We'll close with Will and Sam.
How far along is he for rookie receiver compared to some of the guys you've seen in the past? Where do you still want to see him improve?
He's right where he needs to be. For me, I'm not comparing him to anyone else. Just for him and where he is, Jaden is doing a nice job, and he's improving every day, and that's all I can ask of him. I think it's unfair to try to compare him to someone else. It's just he just has to keep improving his game, and that's all he needs to worry about.
Do you have a stat that's overrated?
I don't know. A lot of them. The one that matters to me is winning. That's all I care about. How do you win a game? But what stats are you thinking about?
Well, yesterday you were talking about, like, sacks. Like, yeah. It's all right if you get a sack, or, like, pressures, and yeah. One-two type of deal. Like, is yeah. There something that we talk about that just doesn't matter that much?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you can say, as I mentioned the other day, sacks, they do get overrated. If a guy gets 10 sacks, like, wow. But always taking the mindset, you think about, you know, a season, a guy has, you talk about guys playing 800 plays, 900 plays, and he gets 10 sacks, and that's a great year. So you talk about 10 plays out of 900. Well, what about a guy who gets 50 pressures and the ball has to come out? You're able to get a pick, interception off of that football. Which one matters most, right? And if a guy get 20 sacks, it's a Hall of Famer. So it does get, you know, kind of over. I'm not downgrading sacks. I love sacks, and I want to lead the league in sacks. But it can get a little overrated. All right. Appreciate it, guys.
There you go. The head coach of the Houston Texans, D'Amico Ryan's
Reggie's
here.
Coming out of his skin right now.
About what?
About the stats.
No, not at all. I understand the perspective that he's coming from there. That's the head coach, and that's a head ball coach. That's a football answer. Hey, man, damn on them stats. Are we winning football games? I think that it is convenient to say that, though, because I think the stats will help you understand why you're winning football games and whether you're winning football games in a way that is repeatable or in a way that is not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, here I am telling D'Amico how football works, which makes me a little self-conscious.
Let me tell you about
to be completely honest. Like, who am I to do that? But, no, I appreciate where he's coming from, and there was a lot of things that he said that 100% I think are repeatable and get you to that place. In fact, speaking of repeatable actions that help you win football games. I found it very interesting when he was talking about the guys in the secondary and the defense, like the way that they're making plays. He made a point that I thought was really good, which is the secondary is communicating really well. They're playing within structure of the defense while still making plays. And I hadn't considered that, and that's my fault for not doing that, but it's a good point. Like, these aren't like we're gambling to make plays in order to take the football away. These boys are taking the football away within the normal structure of everything is covered up and we're making plays on the football. Again, I think we're all in a place where we feel like this is going to be a turnover defense again. I think those are the things that make me assured that it will be.
Yeah, look, there were a couple of things that he said that were interesting. First of all, on the stats, I do want to take your side for a minute. Because he said, what if the guy gets 50 pressures? Well, that's a stat, too. Pressures is a stat, you know, so. But that's neither here nor there for this discussion. But to your point, a couple things that stood out with D'Amico. You know, you could tell he was really clear, you know, really pleased and clear that how good the defense was. And if you weren't listening earlier as we were sort of giving our thoughts on what we were watching out on the field, the defense didn't just win the day. The defense dominated the day.
What's your favorite phrase now?
It was belt to ass.
There you go. Shout out to CJ Gardner-Johnson breaking that one out on the sideline.
It was belt to ass. That's what he said on the sideline, and I totally agree. No, they whooped them. But to your second point, let me finish on that one first.
You got it.
Because the thing that stood out when he was talking about how, you know, the defense controlled the day, he really, I don't know if you could sense it or not. I don't know if I sensed it. It just kind of made note of it. Like, he's like, we got to watch film with this offense. Like, you could tell he was pleased with the defense, but there's got to be a point where the offense can have more success, you know, with what they're trying to do because they were dominated today. And then the other thing that stood out is what you talked about. Go ahead.
Before we move on, can I mention, though, how do you – and maybe this is a question for the coaches. Like, how do you balance the idea of this is a new offense, you're trying to find it, and I think that growth is going to be necessary.
Yeah.
But then also, you're playing against a good defense, and you also just need to be able to make plays. It can't be, you know, a whole bunch of turnovers. Like, I'm still trying to figure out what that is, what that balance is, because you do need to be able to see signs of life. You need to see what proof of concept is the phrase that I like using. But also, I think you have to give a little deference to the idea of the large goals that they're trying to achieve with the offense, which, again, to be fair, this is not excuse-making. This is the thing that I had problems with when they made the hire, when they were going with the offense. We're like, we're going to get competition. The way that you're trying to do this, it's tough to thread that needle, and I think you might be seeing the effects of that needle that you were trying to thread being small.
And I think that's what D'Amico was saying. You know, like, this was great, but, boy, we really, you know, maybe too great, you know?
Yeah.
He didn't say proof of concept, but I think that's what he was heading toward. He wants to see the offense, actually, and this is a trite word, but it's absolutely true, execute some things, you know, do it the right way. And so at some point we're going to have to see that, whether it's versus another team in the preseason or whatever, and I think D'Amico has to see that.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I don't know that you can wait till another team in the preseason to start seeing that.
Maybe you want to see it, you know, tomorrow or Friday.
Yeah, by the time you hit halfway through, I think your time in the Greenbrier, you need to see some things that this offense does like well.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I mean, because you know we talked to Henry To'oto'o and you will hear from him here in a little bit, and I was kind of asking him something along the same lines. You guys are just doing great. What are you seeing from the offense? And he says they have so much talent. You know, it's clear that they're helping us, et cetera. But I think they need some success. And then to what you said about not just, turnovers and big plays, but being in the right spots too. The play that just absolutely was the highlight of the day was a deep ball in which Nico got behind Lassiter and Bullock. Bullock was helped from the inside. Got behind him, step and a half at least, maybe more.
You say help from the inside. I think he might have been over top, but he knew he could play right into space.
That's kind of where I'm going. He was coming from the inside.
Yeah.
And he had a step on both of them. The ball was slightly underthrown, so maybe that's on C.J. Stroud. But they were in their defense doing their job. You know, Lassiter was on the outside. Bullock was coming from the inside. Boom, interception. They closed and got it done. Now, certainly the underthrown ball was a factor there. But that was exactly what D'Amico was talking about. Great defense, in the right spots, still made a big play.
Yeah, from the 3-4-6, defense knows the offense well and understands player tendencies better than other teams will at this point. We'll be fine. I don't know that that's the case because I don't know how many people. I don't know if everybody knows the offense well at this point. I think that everybody is still trying to figure out what this offense is. And I think you can give the defense credit for the principles that they have and the way that they execute it. They work on most offenses, right? So, look, this is the tough thing about training camp is trying to figure out on these grounds what you're seeing that is some level of okay for the time being and what you're seeing that is that portends,
you're like,
you know,
maybe
issues. And it's one of those things that we only ever get as answers on the back end, right? Yeah. We end up 3, 5, 7 weeks into the season and we go, okay, so what we saw in training camp meant this.
And we will do that. We've done that in the past. We're like, okay, we were wondering, and it is true, or it's not true, or whatever.
So, I mean, we'll talk about it for the time being, but I think there's also the room to acknowledge that we'll have a better idea of what all this means later. Of course, not really all that helpful in this moment. On the YouTube page, what's wrong with 7? Look, I know that Clint's talked about it. We talked about it earlier in the show, the idea of that rep share not kind of cycling in a certain way. And I think he took that to be kind of a question that is there something wrong with C.J. Stroud? I know that we had talked about things in the offseason and in minicamp where he did not throw. But I don't know that I believe that there's something wrong with him in that way. However, you did make mention that, like, he was leaving some footballs a little short today, wasn't he?
Well, he did that one for sure. Another one he missed, maybe a little inside, and it should have been an outside throw. But neither here nor there on how he played today. Clint was – and we played the audio. He was talking about the reps that he was getting and such. I don't know what to make of it. I think there's a lot of possibilities, just to answer the texter's question. It could be bringing him along slowly, just to make sure. It is early. It could be, and I think this is where I would lean if I had to pick a side. To me, they're putting a lot on C.J. Stroud's plate.
They are.
The entire offense. They're putting the entire offense. He wanted it. He's gotten it. But maybe they're just sort of slow pedaling on it a little bit, so he knows what he's doing and he's still trying to play catch up. And then the third thing is what Clint said, something ain't right. I don't know. No, we haven't seen any reporting. We haven't, I can't tell you that he's looked necessarily bad, but if that's what Clint's seeing and some of those balls that we just talked about are a little off, maybe there is something there.
Well, one thing I can say is in the off chance, from my perspective, that there is something happening. It's not with his legs. He had to use them a couple of times to escape some circumstances, which, again, points to something that somebody's talking about on the text line. You talk about the offensive line and maybe the lack of success there, and they are still finding some level of gel.
There's that, too.
But, that was tough. There were some rough patches for him. One of the things that I did give in way of, context is the way that I'll say it. This offense was trying to get the ball deep a little bit. We were talking about Matt Burke, and we know this about any given practice, particularly in training camp. They're working on something in particular, and it definitely felt like they were trying to get the ball downfield, push the ball downfield.
Yeah.
This offense is not ready, offensive line-wise, to be able to hold up for pushing the ball downfield.
Well, that's the other part of the offense not having a good day. If I had to put a number on it, 3 sacks and a couple of flushes, that isn't going to cut it.
Again, it's a work in progress. This was a whole competition thing, but this is – I don't want to say this is the thing that we were worried about because I don't know that it's inherently just pure negative at this point, but it ain't like all sunshine and rainbows with this offensive line. This was the thing. Yeah. Hey, you did not – some could argue you have less talent necessarily this year on the offensive line, but the idea was that competition was supposed to raise the boats. Right now, I'm not seeing the raised boats of competition as of yet. We're not done yet. There's still a lot of work to be done out here on these practice fields, in West Virginia as well. But that's the thing that is worth watching, and it was the thing that became a big talking point for good reason.
Absolutely, 100%.
All right. More things to talk about with your Houston Texans as we keep going here at training camp. I haven't forgotten the days. I'm going to be completely honest. We're getting into 7. That space. Thank you. Thank you, Figgy, for giving me that number there. Day 7 out here. And it was a good one. It was another good one, at least to get some more insight, even if everything wasn't sunshine and rainbows, because when is it ever? All right. You're in the loop, though, here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our lunchtime confessions, which we always do at this time. We'll do that next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, on the Carlos Correa trade, I can't
the
be
potential Carlos Correa
trade. You want to break some news?
Yeah. Like it happened, bro.
You want to break some news?
That kind of happened weird, didn't it? On the Carlos Correa rumored, reported trade.
Thank you.
That's out there. I can't be the only one that feels this way, and this is my confession. We don't – I mean, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. You had some reporting from Rosenthal?
I think it was actually Passan.
Jeff Passan.
Who was saying that while the Astros – actually, I'll read it verbatim.
Yeah.
While the Houston Astros have interest in Minnesota Twins shortstop Carlos Correa, and there has been dialogue on a potential trade, the sides are far apart at the moment and no deal is close, sources tell ESPN.
All right, that feeds right into my confession. Blah, 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 blah. My confession is now that it's out there, I feel like they kind of got to do it, right? I mean, I just because it's Carlos Correa, the city's already buzzing about it. You know, to be able to bring him back, they need him. You know, familiar face, clearly a guy that came up, won the World Series, got engaged on the field. We still have the audio of that, I know. It's not fair. That's it. That's it right there. I was trying to see if you could find it, Figgy. I get it. If the trade breaks down, talks break down, they break down. But I kind of feel like you got to do it. You got to get Carlos Correa back now.
I mean, it sounds interesting. I think that there are some things that could throw a wrinkle in what you're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned, not a left-handed bat. I would not be upset at it, but it does not feel like the absolute best way mm-hmm. of going about the trade deadline. However, again, trade deadline is not the place where I think you wait for the absolute perfect answer because by nature, you know, I don't think perfect answers exist often at the trade deadline. So maybe that is
just me. It's out there, though. It just got me. It got me and a lot of people going, I'm sure.
Oh, it's very intriguing. Yeah. It's very fun. And at least for our purposes, not for the baseball purposes. Fun is all that matters. Like, what is the fun thing to kind of consider and rattle around in your brain?
But yeah, exactly.
I feel you in where you're coming from. Let's bring it back to the practice field out here at the Houston Methodist Training Center. With the way that, you know, D'Amico talked about the likes of Tremont Smith and Jalen Smith and some of the other rookies, and with what I've seen from them, I think I've been a big proponent of, hey, man, secondary depth, I think this is an issue. I'm good on chilling on that for a while. Like, obviously, you know, joint practices and preseason games
what do you
tell
mean, chilling?
Us a lot. I'm good on just, like, not worrying about it. Like, I think I'm okay. Like, you know me, I can be a little bit of a worry wart at times. And particularly, like, okay, but if you don't have depth and if you have to have, you know, the equivalent of Jeff Okuda out there again.
Yeah, I got you.
Know,
you.
But I don't think I'm worried about that anymore. I think I feel confident that you have some guys that have a level of ball to them with this system that I think that you can withstand. Like, I think you're good with some of the depth. Of course, that remains to be
seen.
Today
certainly helped that cause.
It did. Yeah. But some of these secondary guys, I think, have been pretty solid in a way that makes me feel comfortable that I'm not as worried as I once was on some of the cornerbacks.
I'm actually with you on that, 100%.
Like the rookies, both Jalen Reed making a play today. Jalen Smith has gotten so much love, and it feels due. I feel like he could come along pretty quickly. Yeah, it does feel like they're probably okay when it comes to secondary depth.
My first confession is they need to cut that damn lawnmower off, man. That stuff is loud, man.
Those blowers are the worst.
It's loud.
Man. But you think it's loud. It's loud over here.
Yeah, I know it's loud over there. I've been in that spot before. So they need to hurry up and move on.
Yeah.
But my real confession is I feel like the Cleveland Guardians need to change their name to the Cleveland Gamblers at this point, man. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if y'all discussed this on Monday.
A little bit.
But, so if you didn't know, Emmanuel Class A is now the second pitcher who you got to sit down and time out for a little bit while they investigate some little gambling issues or I don't know. But they put the video out there of him throwing.
Oh, those first pitches?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Dirting those pitches?
He was spiking them.
Yeah.
He spiked like one
it
after
wasn't
another.
Even close, man.
It was not. He was throwing them 52 feet.
Clearly, it was some type of prop bet or something where I bet you ain't going to throw a first strike. Clearly, that was it. And I think the second pitcher was a guy Luis by the Ortiz. Name of Luis Ortiz. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
But my confession is I'm really intrigued to see what's really going to happen because I feel like it's a lot of this going on.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I think about gambling in sports, I always think of the heaviest thing, which is paying money to lose or do something that costs a game and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I never really thought about just the first pitch, betting on the first pitch a strike. I feel like that's a lot. It's a lot of that going on, and I'm really intrigued to see is it more people. Hell, if it's more people in the Cleveland Gamblers at this point.
Yeah, you can bet on anything.
But the thing I thought about with that is, like, I've seen, like, football, you end up, you know, get caught gambling.
Yeah.
They'll take you out for a year, a la, like, Calvin Ridley.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball, betting on baseball, at least in the past, has gotten you thrown out. Like,
you gone.
Does that shift at all with the new landscape, or are they going to stick to that history and just be like, if we find out that you was doing this, like, for real in a major way, we're just getting you out the paint entirely?
I'm kind of curious because it's one thing to be Pete Rose with it, where it's actually affecting the game and stuff like that. But if you just if you just in the first inning,
and say,
hey, just spike the pitch, let's throw a wild pitch. Like, I'm wondering, like, are you going to ban somebody for that?
I don't know. It's gambling, and that's a great question. I just laugh about it because, like, in his view, if that's the case, you know, they were betting on the first pitch. Like, that's easy money, man.
He's got to
figure, like, I can make up for that. I'll still strike out the dude, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's only the first pitch. Like I said, it's not throwing the game or it's not giving up the game winning home run or anything like that. It's the first pitch.
It's the hit to the integrity, though.
Yep.
Because it's the notion of the slippery slope. It's like, well, if you do that,
what else?
What else did he do? And that's also a question that I imagine the investigation is getting after. Yeah, this can't be. This has got a sting, though, for Cleveland. Not that I'm really all that worried about what they need. But, I mean, you was getting ready to send him off and get you stuff for your team.
He was going to get paid.
That is also another thing.
Yeah.
And now he is just a dude who is on administrative leave.
Somebody made a lot of money, though.
If he would have just threw a first pitch strike, he wouldn't be in this mess.
Yep.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Figgy, you have the audio, but I heard this and it was just sort of, you're scrolling, you know, haha, kind of funny, cute video. The Buffalo Bills were doing, like the Texans do this, as they walk over the bridge, they ask them some question, you know, who's, you know, who would you want your sister today? Whatever, you know, and the guys have some fun with it. Well, this was what the Buffalo Bills were asking. Who's the most famous bald person in the world? This is what it sounded like.
Who is the most famous bald person in the world?
Jeff Bezos.
Most famous bald person in the world?
Jordan, for sure.
Michael Jordan?
The Dalai Lama.
Most famous bald person? Probably Dwayne Johnson.
The Rock.
Alex Caruso.
Amber Rose.
Alex Caruso.
Heisenberg.
Alex Caruso.
Alex Caruso.
Alex Caruso.
Alex Caruso?
Gotta be Alex.
Oh, there's only one answer. The bald mamba.
Alex Caruso!
He said there's only one answer, Alex Caruso. And it made me realize we don't have a lot of famous bald people anymore.
That's a good point. I feel like that's because we done gotten to a place where I feel like in the 90s in particular,
there are a lot of bald people.
It was a style choice.
Yeah.
Where are your bald icons, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we had a number of bald icons in the 90s. I could point to Tupac. I can obviously point to Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Like, you had people who were bald, who were cool, and they made it cool. Who are the bald icons right now?
What happened to all the bald people?
We got, like, Jeff Bezos out here, and I don't know. Like, depending on how you feel, Is that how you? Is that who you're choosing to fall behind?
Because Alex Caruso might be the answer. You had like five guys answer that. And the other one said there's only one answer, the bald mamba. I mean, the white mamba, whatever they call him, a bald mamba. Headband
he can't
mamba.
Be a white mamba because that yeah, is yeah. still... Yeah.
But he might be. He might be the most
it's
famous.
It's not Alex Caruso.
Well, according to the Buffalo Bills,
who is?
Yeah.
I think somebody said Dr. Phil. send in your who's the bald
But he's not
OG
bald
at this point.
Bald. I'm who? Talking bald.
Who is the most famous bald person?
Alex
right
Caruso.
Now?
I mean, that's what made me realize.
Bezos is more famous than Alex Caruso. Please stop that right now.
Well, ask the Bills.
Stop that. Stop it right this moment.
A lot of people don't know Jeff Bezos. They know Alex Caruso. In this demographic?
A lot of people don't know Alex Caruso.
In this demographic, a lot of people do know Alex
Caruso.
All
them people be on Amazon all the time.
But the bigger point is, we don't have a lot
Somebody says Steve Harvey.
Maybe Sean Pendergast.
Oh. Sean needs to put on stronger to try and get more bald folks around here.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Rogan comes through, Stone Cold. I feel like he does not qualify in this time period.
Yeah.
Although, don't let him hear me say that because I don't want no smoke with Stone Cold, Steve Austin, Bruce Willis, again, of a different time. Like, again, who are our modern?
We need more bald people.
No, what it is, people don't want to go bald anymore, and they got all these things you could do to keep your hairline.
That is also true. Yeah. People going to Turkey and stuff instead of just accepting the bald head.
Yeah. Man. It was a style back in the day, man. I think the guy from Onyx. The one allegedly started that style that made Michael Jordan want to cut his hair off.
That man was lying in front of us like we weren't there. Like, we can't do the math. He said that Michael Jordan was bald because of Onyx. And it's like, dog, that don't even line up. The years don't even make sense there. But, yeah, shout out to Alex Caruso, who then on that tweet retweeted and said, go Texans. So shout out to
him. Yeah, he did. He sure did.
Mr. Clean comes in.
Mr. Clean, he's still around.
I know that's a name that I don't want to read on air. Appreciate you, 409, for sending that in.
But, again, it really the bigger point for me is, what the hell happened to all the bald people, man?
Yeah, man. So eventually it's going to circle back around to where going ahead and shaving your head bald is cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at that point we might see it again. But for the time being, stop all that cheating. That's the point that I
You
have.
Know what was wild? People used to shave their head bald when they had a hairline.
Correct.
That's how much of a style it was.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Sean Pendergast did. He shaved his head.
Even with the hairline?
He was loose. Because I think he'll answer this. Yeah.
No, some people go bald when they losing their hairline, which I totally get. Yeah. But some people still had a hairline, and they just went bald.
Hold on. Figgy, I just realized something. Who was the person that brought up this confession?
Lopez.
Me.
All right, so John Lopez, where are all bald guys? You want to start?
I'm not bald.
You want to start?
I'm not bald.
You want to start?
You want me to take
start
my hat off?
Start the trend.
I've got.
I didn't say you weren't bald. Go ahead.
Dude, that would be a big ask.
Go ahead.
We tried to get him to do it. He refused.
Go ahead then.
You know me. I'm Mr. Own What You Are. When I started going gray, I grew a goatee so everybody could see that
man,
gray.
Man, you'll look badass with a bald head and that goatee. Yes, you would.
Oh, with a bald head and a goatee.
And with the goatee. You got to keep the goatee, man.
Bald head goatee is a good look.
Yeah.
Somebody said Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Okay. I can see that. Yeah, Lopez, go ahead and do it for the bald community. Go ahead and do that.
Yeah.
All right, those are our Lunchtime Confessions here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us. Coming up next, we sat down with Henry Toto. It was a fun interview, and you get to hear that one more time coming up next. All right, you're in the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atatula. Another good day of practice here at the Houston Methodist Training Center for Houston Texans training camp. Earlier, we got a chance to sit down with Henry Tolotolo, linebacker for your Houston Texans, led the team in tackles last year, and we had a very fun conversation with him. This is what it sounded like right here on Sports Radio 610.
Look, every time we step on the field, we see red. I ain't gonna lie. I think that's everybody's goal when we step on that field is to hit somebody and make some big plays.
Oh, man, and you guys did a number of that, including yourself. You got your hand on the football. You caught it. You went the other way. There was a big deal, and I know you talked about it with the Assemble Media earlier this week. You and Aziz going and working out with your secondary. For one, I know that it's, let's start here. You guys in coverage in the linebacker room, that's something that I know from the outside mm-hmm. looking in, we've been looking at. Like, what has been the process for you in working on your coverage, and how far do you feel like you've come in this offseason?
Man, I feel like I've come a long way, and I think that just comes with the understanding of our defense and what we play. Mm-hmm. It takes some time to develop in Coach Miko's system to know exactly what he wants and how it looks. But then when you got great vets in there like Aziz, and we have good guys like EJ, adding EJ in the group, and then Christian coming back, we all kind of gel off of each other and pick each other's brains. So we're able to just learn one little thing from each other. So I think just spending time with those guys and then adding their little thoughts into my game, it really helped me.
What about, you know, you talk about working in pass coverage, working with DBs and stuff. You always hear these catchphrases. He's got good hips.
Yeah.
He can track the ball.
Yeah.
You know, because were those real things that you could sense that you were improving on?
I think that's a big thing. I work on my hips every single offseason. I work on ball skills every single offseason. But I think for me, you know, I've always been athletic my whole life. You mm-hmm. know, I've played football since I was young. But I think it's just me getting comfortable being in the NFL, having my third year, you know, playing all last year, and then gaining confidence and coming out here and doing that today.
Yeah.
One of the things I love, though, is I feel like DBs, they're a different type of dude.
Yeah.
What was the most fun thing, or what was the thing that you kind of learned? I know you're working with them all the time.
Yeah.
What was the thing that you kind of got to feel working with them individually in a while?
Man, I think just tracking the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, us linebackers, we think about smashing, hitting something, going downhill, and making a kill shot. But the DBs have just a unique way of when the ball is in the air, or even when the ball is having a straight shot, of playing the ball instead of the guy.
I want to go back to last year for a second because, you know, there was a lot of transition in the linebacker room.
Yep.
There were some injuries and such. And I'm not trying to blow smoke or whatever, but you saved this team's bacon. You saved their bacon
that.
A couple of times, a lot. In fact, did you – you know, people talk about the game slowing down, your next year in the league.
Yep.
Did it just get easier? What helped you rise to the occasion like last year?
Yeah, I think – I say this all the time when I tell everybody, I didn't have the rookie year I wanted to have. I came in, you know, with high expectations for myself, and I didn't excel how I wanted to excel. So I took that whole offseason, I took it personal.
Mm-hmm.
I lost a lot of weight. I worked out with my dad, my lifelong coach, and just hit the ground running ever since that last game we played versus Baltimore after my rookie year.
Yeah.
But, man, it was just all hard work. I think that was the biggest thing. And being pissed off of a narrative of that this guy from Alabama can't play football. So that kind of pissed me off.
First of all, a guy from Alabama not playing football, I don't know who says
that.
Yeah,
who are the people
saying that?
I don't know who says that.
But secondly, like to me, I'm just going to be completely honest. We talk on the radio every day. I was a little bit surprised, and that's what you wanted. I mean, like, you had a role, but you expanded that role.
Yeah.
I mean, what went on into that?
It was just taking that and running with it.
Yeah.
I think just building confidence as the season went.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for me, and I'll be honest with it, it took me to realize that this is my life. Like, football is my life. This is how I feed my wife.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I feed my dog, and then support my parents back at home whenever they need it.
Yeah.
So it took me to realize that this is the only way I'm going to be able to make money for the next couple of years. So why not, you know, invest myself in now and take this as serious as I can. So
yeah.
I think that was the biggest thing, mindset.
Was there a particular moment that clicked for you that had where you had that epiphany?
Yeah, that offseason, I mean – I've never played football, and I was on the sideline for so long, you know, my rookie year. And and that's not saying nothing to nobody, but
– Yeah, you were just
that
ready.
Was just, you know, myself, my confidence, and that just kind of built up into me having a great offseason and surrounding my guys around, like, Aziz and listening to his story and how he works and just implementing into that to my game.
Now let's talk about this defense, because what a day you guys had today, at least from where we were sitting.
Yep.
Just really dominating. You know, some guys have said – who was it that said, we don't want to be one of the best, we want to be the best? I think it was Kamari.
I think
it was Kamari said that. Is that on the table?
Oh, man, we have high standards for us. We came in the first day setting the standard high.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what we're capable of. We have a lot of talent in the room. And as long as we all play our part, do your job, and swarm to the ball,
mm-hmm.
I think we can make Kamari's statement true.
How does that accountability manifest itself? We were making kind of light. We saw the offensive linemen. They got out there, and they were doing push-ups to hold that accountability. But, I mean, you guys hold each other accountable. It's very clear. How does it manifest itself?
I think it's just a testament to what we do, man. We go out every single day knowing that if our job has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do our job, performances like that comes to fruition. So
what happens when you don't, though?
Oh, man, it's over with. It's over with.
Is it Matt? Is it D'Amico? Who is it?
It's everybody. We're all pissed off. And we know if one guy's off, it's like, damn.
Yeah.
And that's all it takes. It's just one guy to not do his job, and a big play happens. So we know that all 11 guys have to be on the same page. So we meet a lot. We talk about it a lot in our meeting rooms.
Yeah.
So we're doing a really, really good job so far.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson was on the sideline today saying that was belt to ass. He said that was belt to ass.
So, hey, y'all gonna hear him.
that's where I'm going. You already had the culture. You already have people like yourself, Aziz, other players, Will, Daniil. But then you bring this guy in.
Yeah.
Is it making – what kind of difference is it making?
Oh, man, he's big time for us, man. He's like the
– belt to ass.
He's belt to ass. He's like that key to your engine. He's going to turn you on. He's going to get you fired up.
Yeah.
But, man, he's been a big time addition. Not only him communicating, but how he plays the game of football, how he loves it, how he talks about it, and how he goes about his day. Man, we love that guy.
Some people say, you know, flamboyant, loud, boisterous. Oh. They interpret that the wrong way.
Yeah, man.
I mean, but that doesn't seem to be him. No. It's just what he is on the field.
That's football. Yeah. That's how he plays football. And in my opinion, I think they're all tripping. They're all tripping. They're stupid. They don't know what they're talking about.
Now, you worked with the secondary. We're talking to Henry Toto. Actually, let me stop. We're talking to Henry Toto here in the loop. And I usually say this as somebody who has a name that gets messed up from time to time. Can you give me, like, the proper full pronunciation of your name? Because I'm good at mimicking, but I want to make sure I get it right.
It's Toto.
Toto.
Yeah.
So what's your whole name?
Henry Moses Ito Yese Toto.
Damn right it is.
I love it. So you worked with the secondary. It feels like when we were making note, Kalen Bullock this year has been it feels like there's another level that he's turned up. Because I was saying, early on you could see the rookie in him last year.
Yeah.
You saw where he was starting to get dominant and ball hawking. Have you noticed as well like a different level for him this year?
He's kind of like turning it up a notch. His mindset, how he approaches practice, how he walks out, how he talks in a meeting room, you can just tell he's developing into probably one of the best safeties that's about to be out here in this league here soon. So just that maturity part, but he understands the game so well, and he's so long and lengthy that he's able to make plays that nobody else can make.
How ready are you, as much as you're used to this, how ready are you to get to West Virginia in 70 degrees?
Oh, man, I'm ready. This damn heat out here.
It's been brutal.
Today actually wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
It's been brutal. So I feel like we get to West Virginia, we're going to be able to run all day.
Yeah.
All right. I see you wearing the red wedding ring. You practicing with the ring on?
I practice with it on. If I break my finger, I break my finger. I don't ever take this off. That's how much commitment I got to my wife.
I see it. I've seen it. She likes having fun on social media as well.
She does.
Like, what does your wife mean to you?
Man, she means everything to me, man. That's my backbone. I never, you know, growing up, I always loved my mom. Mm-hmm. And I never knew that I would be able to love a woman more than I love my mom. So being able to have that backbone, you know, the one I can go home to and lean upon when times are hard, and we can celebrate the good times. So she's been everything I ever wanted in my life.
Couple more things for you. From your perspective, I want you to talk about the offense. D'Amico talked about iron sharpens iron.
Yep.
You were sharpening the hell out of that offense today. I mean, that from your perspective, you can't let up. You can't be easy. You got a job to do.
Yep.
But at the same time, what are you seeing in terms of the offense trying to catch up, so to speak?
I don't think they're trying to catch up.
Well, up to their game, to their new offense.
They're kind of, you know, our offense is so damn talented. They're just adjusting and getting to Coach Kaley's system. But, man, our offense is so damn good. Mm-hmm. The way they pick things up so quickly, our O-line moves so fast, and we have a talented back end. So, man, us being able to go against them is only going to make us better. And it gives us an opportunity to play against one of the best offenses in the NFL every day.
So we were talking to Lakin Tomlinson yesterday, and I'm not going to lie, it was a fantastic interview, but I was a little upset. He dodged a question that I had that I thought was an easy one, so please don't do that for me here, all right? But I'm interested because you were talking about, like, feeling that you know, not playing as a rookie. What was your welcome to the NFL moment? Like, do you remember it clearly?
I think my welcome to the NFL moment, man, was – obviously not playing and how real it gets. But I remember my very first camp, I think it was like our third day of pads, and I can pull it up on film. Laramie Tunsil, he runs a screen, and he picks me up by one hand. Laramie Tunsil, I'm 230 pounds. I was heavy, 235 pounds. Laramie Tunsil grabs me with his left hand. They're running the screen the other way. He grabs me and says, "I could have dipped you. I could have dipped you." And just takes, and I look at him like,
"Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. My bad." My bad. I didn't mean to. Grabs me by my chest, man. I was like, I could have dipped you. Look me right in the eye. I was like, all right, cool. You got it, bro.
It's funny. You've mentioned this a couple of times about sitting and the frustration. I'm putting words in your mouth, but you know, just referencing it. You know, you came from Alabama. You came from Tennessee. You know, these are monster programs. You always played. You were a big-time talent, you know, coming into college. Is that still sort of motivating you? Like, I had to sit, man.
Oh, man, that drives me every single day. I think just the whole process of me getting into the NFL, I have the list of linebackers that all went before me on my phone in my notes. And I think not that drives me, but it's always on the back of my mind that people thought that 12 guys were better than me. So that's not my main driving force, but that's always on the back of my mind.
Always there.
So you clearly have some goals that you're working with, and you already checked one off. You led the team in tackles last year. Are you willing to tell us what one of your or maybe some of your goals are for this season for yourself or Henry?
I got a lot. I think I want to keep that duck down until I definitely got to get my hand on the ball.
Okay, so at least one, two.
I got to get two.
Okay, two. We got that. We're writing that one down.
And I don't want it to be a tip like I caught it the last time.
Yeah, yeah. You want to jump the route.
I got to grab it.
You want to jump the route.
I got to pause.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah, fair enough. That's touche. Touche. We don't want to have you out here looking
back. I actually know what that means.
We've been schooling and we've been hipping him the game. We have been.
That's crazy that you said that.
He's an OG. He's done this, how many,
30-something years. 30-something camp.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
Yeah.
You've been here for a while.
Yeah.
Damn.
And he doesn't want to carry my backpack.
Do I have to? It's my first one. Do I have to?
I ain't gonna lie. That's the name of the game. I ain't gonna lie.
But real quick, the last thing I wanted to ask you is something I've been real intrigued by. Again, it's my first camp. It's kind of given me the perspective.
Yeah.
The advice that people either you've gotten or that you've given. I know there's a couple of rooks. I saw Jalen Reed took one back for six. What is the best advice that you've had or you've heard when it comes to training camp?
I think the biggest thing in my 3 years so far having camps is that this is your job. Like, this is your livelihood. This is how you're going to make money. This is how your wife and your family's going to eat. This is how you're going to pay your bills. So just realizing that, the quicker you can realize that, and then the quicker you can be able to enjoy and play football how you normally play football. Because, man, it's all laughs and giggles until, you know, shit hits the thing and it's over with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry for my cursing. But,
it's all good.
I think that's the biggest thing, but always have fun with it. Just, at the end of the day, always have fun with this. No matter how hard it gets, always have fun with it. Enjoy it. This only lasts for so long, so why not enjoy it and give it everything you got?
Yes, sir. We appreciate you stopping and have a great camp and a great season.
Appreciate y'all.
Yes, sir. All right, coming up next, Jaden Higgins actually talked in front of the media, the wide receiver that's going to be very important for this Houston Texans team. What did we see from him today, and what did he talk about at the podium? Let's get into that next on Sports Radio 610.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.